Before I begin, I want to just share something from the 7 a.m. service. I mentioned this last service too. When Kristen did her children's message in the 7 a.m. service, and she handed the lemon to somebody, and he gave it to him, and he was like, this is really good. She's like, do you like it? He's like, yeah, I do. So, then she gave him the chocolate, and he was like, And she's like, which one do you like better? He goes, the lemon. Totally ruined. And then he sat there for the whole children's, so I was watching him. He's sitting there. He devoured the entire lemon, except for the rind, like the whole thing. He was into that lemon. It was so cute. I just had to share that with you. I thought you might enjoy that. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The power of God is made manifest in the resurrection of Jesus. Imagine being there, today's gospel lesson. Imagine being there. It says, in the calm of the early morning, it was toward dawn. You know, when you get up, you ever get up that early? Like right now, it's around 6:30-ish or so for sunrise. And you get up, and it's nice, and it's cool out. And it's like crisp, and everything is, there's no wind. And there's just silence. And you look off to the east, and above the buttes there, east of Castle Rock or wherever it is, you look to the east, and that Colorado sunrise, the sun starts to turn orange, and it gets brighter and brighter, and finally the glory of the sun just shines and lightens up, and you can see the mountains start to turn pink, you know, purplish pink, and then they get brighter. The beauty of the sunrise here in Colorado. Imagine being there at the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, probably the mother of James and Joseph, it doesn't say, but that's who Mary was before. The other Mary was earlier in Matthew. And they get there. And it's sort of like, I don't know about you, but like when my grandparents died, you know, you have the funeral and then there's the committal at the graveside, and then we would always go back in the evening after everything and just sort of have our family time there. And there's the fresh dirt filled in, you know, and all the flowers stacked up on top of the grave. Just a time to kind of pay your respects after all of the stuff with everybody else. And I kind of feel like maybe that's what Mary and the two Marys were doing. So they went there on Sunday morning in that dawn time frame with the beauty of the sun rising, but maybe not yet. And they're there in the quiet cool of the morning, and suddenly there's a massive earthquake. Who's ever lived through an earthquake? Anyone? What was it like? Was it like fun? Was it scary? I can only imagine. My father told me about when he was living in Alaska and lived, he was about 50 miles from the epicenter, and it was a big earthquake, and there's these 150, 200 foot tall pine trees just waving back and forth. He said almost level with the ground, right? I mean, it's got to, and stuff falling everywhere, and it's got to be frightening. The power of God made manifest in our world. And imagine there's this stone. Now, I have these rocks in my yard. They're about this big. And, you know, try and move them. They're heavy. Like, you might be able to roll it, but they're you cannot pick them up. And they're only this big. Imagine a cave that is large enough for people to walk in and out of it, and you can carry a body, the body of Jesus. It's got to be a pretty big opening, right? In the text before this gospel reading, some of the soldiers went to the authorities and they were worried. They said, sir, we remember how that imposter said while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first. So they had this idea. Let's get this enormous stone, and we'll roll it in front of the opening to this cave, to the tomb, so that we'll seal it with this stone that no one will be able to move, so that no one can go in and steal his body and perpetrate this fraud, they called it. And then we're going to post a bunch of guards around there just to make sure, just in case, so that nobody could possibly ever steal the body of Jesus. We're going to protect this. We're going to make sure that he stays dead and that nobody can fake us out and say that he's still alive. And it must have taken dozens of men, soldiers, to take this. I mean, it must have been huge to roll this multi-ton boulder over in front of this opening to this cave and seal it. It must have been huge. So Mary and the other Mary, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, went to see the tomb in the quiet and cool of the morning as the sun is rising. And suddenly this massive earthquake. When you experience the power of God, it's frightening. It must have been frightening. And suddenly, the angel of the Lord descends and single-handedly rolls this enormous stone back and then just sits on it. Yeah. No big thing. And the guards tremble and become like dead men, which is in contrast with the risen Jesus, right? They become like dead men. And it says that the garments of the angel, the appearance of the angel was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. Has anyone ever seen lightning close up? I have. One time I was driving, and I was at the intersection, and on the opposite corner, lightning struck and hit the power pole. And And hit the power pole, and the grounding cable, which is, you know, half inch thick, exploded and burst into sparks and flames. And I got up. It was like an autonomic response. I was strapped into my car, and I tried to run away, and I couldn't run because I was strapped into my car, and I started beating the ceiling until I got control of myself. I was like, oh my gosh, it's frightening. And imagine even more so with the earthquake and this angel, the power of God. Mary and the other Mary must have just, and the guards must have just had this like electricity igniting inside of them. Just when you see the power of God, it's amazing that they didn't die, honestly. It had to have been something. Can you imagine if you'd been there and seen this? What that would have been like to experience the power of God that raises Jesus from the dead. And the angel speaks to the Marys and says, "Do not be afraid." What an understatement. Have you ever noticed that? Whenever the angels, you know, they're always these like cute little cherubs. We always have these little cute little cherubs. And the angels, oh, they're so pretty. Put one on the Christmas tree, you know, that kind of thing. But when you actually see an angel, they always say the same thing. Do not be afraid. It must be something to see an angel in reality and experience this messenger of God. He is not here, for he has risen. Come see where the place where he lay. We don't hear anything. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they don't say anything, but maybe they went in to look. I mean, they had to have. And then the angel says, now, in essence, now that you have seen what God has done, here is Jesus, the Son of God, and we thought we had the last word. We thought that we were so powerful that we could kill God, put him in a tomb, roll up a stone, put up some guards, nothing, this is it. It's the final word, but it wasn't. The power of God overcomes anything that we can say or do. Jesus has risen. He's not here. He's gone. He's alive. God's power and God's grace overcomes the worst of our sin. Whatever the worst of your sin is, God's grace overcomes it because the tomb is empty. We cannot outwit God, and we are never more powerful than him. Come see the place where he lay. And now, having seen the amazing, words fail me, what God has done, now that you have seen it, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Now, this is an interesting thing here in Matthew and some of the other gospels too, where the women who in that society were not allowed to testify in court because they were deemed to be unreliable witnesses, and yet Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are the ones that God chose to send as witnesses to the fact that Jesus is alive. The last shall be first, right? So when you feel like you're the last, be a witness. God is calling you to do that. But go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. He is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. Go to Galilee. More on that in a moment. So then the Marys take off running. I mean running. With fear and great joy, it says. And suddenly, and by the way, Pastor Chris pointed this out in his sermon that he preached at 7 o'clock, the Marys never speak. We don't hear from either of the Marys in this gospel lesson. It's only the angel and Jesus. So then as they're running to do what the angel has said, to go and tell the disciples, Jesus meets them. He greets them. Greetings! They see the risen Lord. They see him. And what would you do in that moment? Mary and the other Mary, they were so overwhelmed with the power of God that they'd seen with the angel and the stone rolled away and the soldiers just becoming like dead men. And now they see Jesus alive, risen. It had to have been something else. They're just immediately moved, and they get down on their hands and knees. It says they grasp his feet, and they worship him. Worship him. Can you imagine being there worshiping the risen Lord on the day that he rose from the dead? What a blessing. Do not be afraid. Go, repeating again what the angel has said, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Go to Galilee. What's in Galilee? Twice now, once by the angel and once by Jesus, the Marys are told that Jesus is going to Galilee and that his brothers, the disciples, will see him there. Why Galilee? Well, it's where Jesus grew up. It's just north of Judea. It's kind of in the middle to northern part of Israel. It's where Jesus grew up in Nazareth. It's where he called the disciples, right? The fishermen by the Sea of the Galilee and all the other disciples sort of put together his group of disciples there. It's where he began his ministry and did a large part of his ministry, performing several miracles, the wedding at Cana, etc. And it's a place where Jews and Gentiles live together. It's a major population center. It's lush. There are hills and mountains. In fact, it has the highest elevation in Israel, 3,000 feet on a mountain there. And there's several major Roman roads from the Roman Empire that pass through here. There's many towns. It's very populated. And it makes it a strategic place, if you will, to begin and launch the proclamation of the gospel for the disciples. Whatever reason, that seems like that's where it is. Jesus says, go to Galilee. And in fact, after this, later in chapter 28, at the end of Matthew, Jesus does go there. He meets with the disciples on the mountain to which he had directed them. And there he gives them the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That's in Galilee. So, the resurrection in Matthew is an embodiment of the power of God. The earthquake, the angel of God, the soldiers like dead men. We humans thought we had gotten better of God. We killed him after all, but no. God's power is stronger than us. strong enough to move a rock and sit on it in triumph, strong enough to overcome our sin by overcoming the death that we brought upon God's Son. Jesus is alive. No stone can keep him in the grave. Jesus is alive. An army of soldiers cannot stop him. Jesus is alive. No amount of fear can prevent his message from spreading. Humanity has been redeemed. The curse of sin is broken. God has won. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus says, go to Galilee. In essence, get back out there in the world, Jews and Gentiles, everybody there, go to the center of where people are and make disciples of all nations. Tell the story of Jesus talking to the angels. Tell the story of Jesus talking to Mary and Mary. Tell what Jesus has done. There's a parable that I heard once. Jesus is risen and he ascends into heaven and he's talking to the angels. And the angels say, so Jesus, how did it go? And Jesus says, well, you know, it went according to plan, right? I was born there, raised, healed a bunch of people, gathered some disciples. They were kind of, a little off sometimes, but they were good, the disciples, they scattered, when the scattered the shepherd and scattered the sheep, or strike the shepherd, scatter the sheep. So, when I was actually crucified, according to plan, which that part went well, but, they kind of scattered. In fact, one of them denied me 3 times. I told him he was going to, and he still did it anyways, right? Until the rooster crowed, he was like, oh, man, what did I do? I mean, I tried to tell him, but anyways. But everything went according to plan, and now those 12 are the ones that are going to spread my message. The angel was like, really? Those 12? You wouldn't happen to have a plan B, would you, Jesus? And Jesus said, nope, I have no plan B, just plan A. And that's what you are today. You and I are God's plan A. Tell the story. Go to your own Galilee, wherever that is, and make disciples. May the Lord Almighty keep our days and our deeds in his peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Let us spring to our feet and excitedly proclaim our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe.